The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are, a whole week after our joyous celebration of Christmas. Worship here on Christmas Eve was wonderfully fulfilling for me. I liked how we brought out all of our best to worship Christ, how the choir sang wonderfully, the bells rang beautifully. There was processions for the gospel reading, the Kyrie and the chanting of the Eucharistic liturgy. We sang songs like "Joy to the World," "Angels We Have Heard on High," and "O Come All Ye Faithful," and absolutely "Silent Night." And something wonderful happened that evening. Something happened that I can only define as contagious. Everybody here seemed to be very upbeat. There were smiles on all the faces as I greeted you, which sometimes I don't see. But here we are a week later, and we get smacked down by the brokenness of humanity, don't we? Today, the gospel lesson tries to take away our Christmas joy with the horrible news of the slaughter of innocent children. What kind of message can be so frightening to a king so as to trigger such extreme measures as the destruction of all the infants two and under? The Bible tells us it was this message that frightened Herod. After Jesus is born in Bethlehem, during the days of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." It was this message that frightened Herod. And can you just see a king wondering what that all means? Herod just in fear, his insecurities oozing out of every pore. A new king? Who? What? Where? How is it this king has wise men searching for him without even being summoned? How is it that this king has his own star? What is this that they come to worship him? I am the only king around here, and I am the only one to be worshipped. And so it is, in the midst of his own insecurity, that Herod plots the most unspeakable act, the destruction of innocent children. Oh, the details are hard even to contemplate, much less to describe. I mean, what kind of monster could do such a thing? What is as senseless and tragic as the violent death of innocent babies? What grief is as profound as the grief of parents who can do nothing but helplessly stand by and watch as their little ones are murdered? And is there comfort? Is there any hope for these mothers of Bethlehem? Well, the good news that we have is, yes, there is. And that comfort and that hope is embodied in the one baby boy who escaped the massacre. The one who would grow up to be the King of Kings. Now, yes, Joseph is warned in a dream to take Mary and baby Jesus and flee the country. The little Messiah is carried to safety. He is brought to Egypt because God is not going to allow his only son to be cut down, not at this time. See, it was necessary for baby Jesus to survive the slaughter of Bethlehem so that he could fulfill his mission, grow up and die. There would come a time when Jesus would stand before another Herod and a governor named Pontius Pilate. And at that time, brutal soldiers would get their hands on him. In that place, he would indeed be massacred. The Christ of Christmas, the baby whose birth we so joyously celebrated, had to live in order that the Christ of Calvary might die and rise again in victory for sinners like you and me. A true Christmas is celebrated only in light of these eternity-changing events. Even our Christmas celebration and joy are tempered with the solemn remembrance of the holy innocents of Bethlehem, those who had to die. No matter what the day and age, the effects of sin, suffering, and death will not cease on this side of heaven. So where's the hope? Where's the comfort? It is here in the story of the holy innocents. Christ was spared so that he could spare you, and he has. It is here in his death on Calvary's cross, a death that he died in your place, in my place, a death that 3 days later was swallowed up by life. It is here today for you and me because we know a day is coming when all the strife will cease and all the crying will end. On that day, the eyes of the mothers of Bethlehem will be dried. On that day, the tears of those who have suffered at the hands of evil dictators, past and present, their tears will cease to flow. On that day, you and I who mourn because of our earthly sorrows will rejoice forever in our heavenly reward. That's the comfort that carries us through all of our Christmases. That's the promise that makes a Christmas truly merry. That is the joy that never fails and never fades away, knowing that Christ will come again. Yes, our Christmas celebration and joy is tempered with the solemn remembrance of the holy innocents. But it is also tempered with the remembrance of the only one who was truly holy. The only one who was truly innocent, as we remember not only his birth, but also his death on a cross. And so it is that we also have the eternal hope of the empty tomb. It is here that we find a word of comfort, deep comfort, for those who suffered and who are suffering. For those of us who know all too well the active part we have played in the evil that plagues this world, it is here and only here that we find full and complete forgiveness. If you remember anything, remember that. It is here that we find full and complete forgiveness. Matthew relates the slaughter of babies in Bethlehem as one example of the evil in the world. And not even the birth of Christ removes the power of evil from our world, but its light gives us hope as we walk with all the holy innocence of past generations and those today who have suffered unjustly. We have the baby Jesus, who has been born into this world to manifest God's presence and save us from our sins. In our gathering around the world and meal, God continues to redeem us, lift us up, and carry us as in days of old. We have Jesus. That's what separates us from all the other social service organizations that do splendid and wonderful work around our community. We have the baby Jesus. We have forgiveness of sins in the one who was born, who died, and was raised again so that we might have life. Amen. Our hymn of the day today is Take My Life That I May Be, verses 1 through 4. It's 685.